And make sure your mobile phones are switched off. And I've just got a little message I want to bring now. And it's based on, it comes from the book of Jonah. But I just want to say, before I start this message, a little bit later on in the message, I'm going to be saying some things that's going to make some people, it might unsettle you. But before you react to me, because I really like it if you like me. everybody likes everybody to like them. But I'm bringing to you what I believe is God's word today. But hear the whole message before you judge what I am saying. Is that okay, everybody? You know, I'll be emphasizing some things and then it should all come together at the end. So, Father, we pray you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to Real Life Church today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And I titled this message, The Heartbeat of God, but you can call it Jonah and the Whale if you want. That's fine with me. But we're going to read Jonah 1, verses 1 to 3. You'll have it on the screen there. And it says this. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. And so begins one of the Bible's most fascinating stories, the story of Jonah. It's a wonderful story. And the story of Jonah is so much more than just a funny story about a man being swallowed by a large fish. Jonah wrote the book of Jonah, and he wrote about this episode in his life. He didn't write about his whole life. It's just this episode in his life to show the world how foolish he was and how awesome the heart of God is. That's what the book of Jonah is really all about. Now, Jonah, just a bit of background, he was a prophet to the nation of Israel, and he lived about 750 BC. Israel had a dangerous nation on its doorstep, and that was the nation of Assyria. Assyria's capital city was Nineveh. The Assyrians were a brutal people. They're a brutal people. In fact, you know, there's been lots of brutal people throughout human history. And probably if you rated the top five most brutal people in all of history, the Assyrians would be in the top five without a shadow of a doubt. They committed terrible atrocities to the nations and cities that they conquered. In fact, part of their thing was that when they conquered a city, they would then get the king and they would get all the leaders out of the city, and in front of the people, they would skin them alive and then take everybody into captivity. That's what they used to do. They were brutal. They were immoral, and they were given over to witchcraft, and they worshipped evil deities. And so, like everyone else, Jonah hated and despised the Assyrians, especially because sometimes the Assyrians would send raiding bands into Israelite territory, and they were brutal. And so Jonah just despised them and hated them. And so when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against it, he just quickly packed his bags and he went in the opposite direction. And so that means Jonah deliberately disobeyed the command of God. Have you ever disobeyed the command of God? Don't put your hand up. Just look at the person next to you. Amen. Jonah went down to a place called Joppa. We've actually been there. It was a city in those days. Now it's just a suburb in Tel Aviv. But they went down to Joppa and he boarded a ship that was sailing far away to a place called Tarshish. You know, so this is in Israel. You know, they believe, you know, historians believe Tarshish was actually in Spain. So he's actually planning to get away as far from God as he can. The ship set sail and Jonah went into his cabin and he fell asleep. But while he was sleeping, God sent a powerful wind, woof, and the water, on the water, and a violent storm hit the ship. Nonetheless, the sailors did everything that they could to keep things safe aboard that ship. Yet while these sailors were fighting hard against the storm, Jonah was asleep, enjoying his dreams of not going to Nineveh. He slept on and on and on. Who would like to be able to sleep like that? Hallelujah. Wow. But then the captain came down, needed everybody to help. And he woke Jonah up. And he asked this profound question. He said, how can you sleep at a time like this? And sadly, Jonah represents some Christians today. Some Christians are spiritually asleep to what God is doing and asleep to what is happening in the world today. And the Bible says to us, so be on your guard. Don't be asleep like the others. Stay alert, everybody, and be clear-headed, especially because I believe we are in the last days, for sure, for sure, for sure. The captain then questioned Jonah, and Jonah explained that the storm was actually his fault. And it was his fault because he was running away from the God who created heaven and earth. This just terrified the pagan captain and his sailors. And the captain and sailors then asked Jonah what they should do so that the storm would stop, because if it kept up, everybody was going to die. And then Jonah told them, just throw me over the side of the ship and only then would the storm stop. This is incredible that Jonah would say that, because Jonah obviously had such a hatred and dislike for the Assyrians that he would rather have been thrown into the ocean than to turn around and go to Nineveh. Wow. Wow. I'd rather die than go and speak to those people. However, the sailors, who were not followers of God, they tried to do the thing. Interesting interplay here. Here's a man of God doing the wrong thing. Here's a people who are not following God trying to do the right thing. And they did everything they could to fight the storm so that no harm would come to Jonah. They didn't want to kill him, not at all. But to no avail. The storm just got worse and worse. And so eventually they just gave in, and they picked up Jonah and they threw him over the side of the ship. And as he hit the water and started to sink, the storm immediately stopped. And it says those people built an altars to the Lord. Jonah then sank into the sea, and he was expecting to die. That this was it. This was the end. But suddenly, out of nowhere, the Bible says a great fish came and swallowed him whole. Look, God in his mercy had sent a giant fish to rescue Jonah. He probably would have preferred another ship, but it was a giant fish. And ladies and gentlemen, without that fish, Jonah would have drowned for sure, and he deserved to drown, in my opinion. But I've got a harsh opinion, amen. But you wait till we get a bit further on, hallelujah. I'm just joking. But inside, the creature of that sea, what was it like? In the utter darkness, the stench, the putrid stench, and the sloshing of the fish's stomach contents all around him. Surely all of that would have caused Jonah to question whether he had already actually died and gone straight to hell. He probably thought he was in hell. So for 3 long days, Jonah survived in the belly of that great fish. And when Jonah later looked back on this episode in his life, and when he wrote this story, he actually put together a beautiful poem of his prayers to God that he prayed from the stomach of that fish. And you can read that beautiful poem in Jonah chapter 2. After 3 days, God ordered the fish to vomit. That was terrible, wasn't it? And vomit Jonah onto the beach. Now, today in our world, there is a distinction between fish and whales. But back then, there was no such distinction between fish and whales. To the ancient world, they were all fish. So chances are, and I do believe this, is that Jonah was actually swallowed by a whale. And the sperm whale is very big and is especially known for vomiting out its stomach contents, even today. So Jonah was vomited out, and Jonah found himself lying in a puddle of whale vomit on the beach. He's, you know, it's not like he just stepped out of the whale's mouth and said, thanks for the journey. And he was vomited out. His skin, his hair, he probably went in with black hair, now it's white. His skin, his hair, his clothes, they may have even been bleached by the whale's stomach enzymes. Jonah stank, and he could barely open his eyes in the bright sunlight because for 3 days he'd been in utter darkness. He couldn't see properly. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always better to obey God than disobey God. Disobeying God can lead you into a puddle of vomit. Metaphorically speaking. Finally, Jonah reluctantly arrived in Nineveh. Nineveh, the capital and center of the mighty Assyrian Empire. And Nineveh was a huge city for its day. And Jonah was sent to Nineveh by God. And he was sent because the wickedness of the Assyrians was so severe, so cruel, so disturbing that it had caught the attention of heaven. Did you know, everybody, that nations can become so wicked that heaven has to respond? I'll say it again, because people don't understand this. Nations can become so depraved that heaven has to respond. It's a law. There's laws that run, laws of physics that run our material universe. There's laws that are in heaven. But this particular law is a law that straddles the spirit world and the material world. And these ancient people, these Assyrians, have crossed the line of cruelty, depravity, and they deserve to be judged most severely. Absolutely. And so Jonah came. And he moves through Nineveh, shouting to the crowds of Assyrians going about their daily business. And Jonah shouted this, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days. That's all you've got. 40 days from now, and Nineveh will be destroyed. Shouted it out. That's what he shouted. And it was all he said. That was Jonah's entire message. What a sermon that was. Would have made my job easier today if mine could be as short as that. That was his entire message. And he repeated it over and over again. Actually, in the Hebrew, I think there was 8 words there in English. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 8 words in English. In Hebrew, which is what he was speaking, it's actually 5 words. So Jonah preached a 5-word message in Hebrew to the crowds of Assyrians. And Jonah, when he preached, he had absolutely no compassion for the people in his preaching. He didn't shed any tears. He was unmoved at the disaster was falling upon these people. Unmoved completely. No emotion. And he didn't even say how they were going to be destroyed either. Was it going to be a natural disaster? Was there a huge marauding army gathering somewhere? Who knows? Who knows how God planned to destroy them? He gave no information. He had no compassion. Just 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. He gave the Assyrians, the evil Assyrians, the bare minimum of God's message. And ladies and gentlemen, whenever God decides that judgment is warranted, and only he decides that, he always sends a warning first. Always. It's a scriptural principle. That's why he sends his prophet. He always sends his a warning first. And reluctant Jonah brought that warning to the Assyrians. However, to Jonah's absolute surprise and absolute disappointment, the Bible says that the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on sackcloth to show their sorrow. And they did this because they were terrified by the news of the coming judgment that Jonah was talking about. And then the Bible says this. It says, and when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his royal throne and took off his royal robes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals, may eat or drink anything at all. Everyone must pray to God. Israel's God, not our gods, to God. They must turn from the evil ways. This is what the king's instructing everybody. You've got to turn from the evil ways and we must stop all our violence. And then he says this, who could tell? Perhaps even yet, God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. These wicked, cruel, undeserving, godless Assyrians believed the message from the prophet, and so they threw themselves on the mercy of God. God, have mercy upon us. And the Bible says this, one of the most profound passages in the whole of the Bible. It says this, and when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, listen to this, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Wow, wow. The king and his people had been convicted by Jonah's message. God's word had pierced the national conscience, if you like. This prompted the king of Nineveh to call for everyone to fast and pray and repent. All those evil people, I mean really evil people, humbled themselves and asked God for mercy. And when God saw their repentance, he just couldn't bring judgment upon them any longer. I can't do that to them. And his compassion for them welled up in his heart. They deserved to be destroyed. And destruction was coming. Oh, they deserved to be destroyed. But mercy triumphed over judgment instead. And their prayer and their fasting made a way for God's mercy to flow to them. Amen. Prayer, fasting, and repentance saved a huge city from destruction. Prayer, fasting, and repentance can save you from going to hell. Prayer, fasting, and repentance change the mind and plans of God. It's healthy and it's right to have times of fasting, repentance, and prayer. It's good to seek the Lord. It's good to throw yourself upon the mercy of God. It's good to seek the favor of Almighty God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just got to blow my nose. You knew it. So that all happened. What happened next? Well, Jonah, what was his problem? Jonah was just furious with God. And he was so angry at God for having mercy upon the Assyrians. What? What? And then Jonah, in his frustration, confessed to God his real reason for running away in the first place. He came all out. He said this. That's why, he's talking to God, he says, that's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. I knew that you were slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Jonah was frustrated at the mercy and compassion of God for wicked people. And to Jonah, it just didn't, it's not right. It just didn't seem fair that God would forgive such bad people. Idolatrous. It just doesn't add up. It's not fair. And let me tell you, it wasn't fair. But if God did what was fair, we would all be destroyed, including Jonah. Jonah was so fixated on the wickedness of the Assyrians that he forgot that God had been merciful to him and saved his life. Even while he was in a state of appalling disobedience, God sent the whale and gave him a second chance, and he'd already forgotten about that. So Jonah then went and sat on a hill overlooking Nineveh. He thought he would wait to see if he had managed to convince God to destroy the Assyrians after all. But it was really hot on the hill. So God made a leafy plant to grow rapidly and provide shade for Jonah. Jonah was just really grateful and really happy about the shade that God had provided on that hot hill. It was wonderful. But the next day, God sent a worm to chew through the leafy plant's stem, and it destroyed the plant, destroyed the shade quickly. And so Jonah became hot and he became uncomfortable once again. And so now Jonah was angry with God over the worm. Then God asked this question. He said, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Seriously, Jonah. And this is what Jonah said. He said, yes, it is, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? And this little four-chapter book, this little episode, this little story of Jonah finishes with God's profound question left hanging in the air. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? See, Jonah was fussing about the stupid leafy plant while Assyrian lives were in the balance. Jonah was fussing about his personal comfort while a whole city risked being wiped out. Jonah's focus was on his little patch on the hill while God's focus was on the people in Nineveh. Jonah was gripped with his opinions and prejudices about the Assyrians' behavior, while God was gripped with concern about the Assyrians' future. Wicked Nineveh was of great concern to God, but it wasn't of great concern to Jonah. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city as this? Can we now apply this to our own modern day? Australia. Australia is a great country. It's been good to me and my family. Very good. But Australia is a divided country today. There are numerous groups and sections of society, and I'm going to just tell you what I think now. If you disagree with me, please don't shout at me. Don't send me hate mail. Don't throw eggs at me. Come and talk to me about it. But there are sections of our society that I personally consider to be evil and a threat to the welfare of our nation. I'm especially concerned about the social, mental, and spiritual damage that the LGBTQT alphabet people, I'm going to say LGBTQ predators and activists are causing as they socially re-engineer our culture with the evil propaganda and centuries of social history back my concerns. My concerns are reasonable, rational. I'm particularly appalled and disgusted by the lewd and shameful Pride marches and Pride Day events. Every Pride march is a blight upon our nation and is an act of fist waving at Almighty God. The LGBTQ agenda is leading impressionable lives into destruction, and that's what grieves me the most. Now, even as I talk about these things, because of the way my personality is wired up, I could easily get myself all worked up right now about all this stuff, because it's all just so very wrong. I hate it when I see an ad on TV and suddenly, you know, there's another bit of LGBTQ propaganda. It's just so wrong. How can you do this to my grandkids? How can you do that? And I can get worked up because it's wrong, it's destructive, and it's bizarre. However, I must be careful that I do not become like Jonah. Jonah was an angry man. I don't want to be an angry man. Jonah made prophets look really bad. In his anger against the Assyrians, he behaved badly himself. Yes. He hated Nineveh. He delighted in telling them they were going to be destroyed. I can't wait. He sat on the hill to watch people being destroyed. And he did that because they were so wicked, arrogant, and wrong. And they were. But Jonah was blind to the shocking truth that he was completely out of step with the heartbeat of God. He misunderstood the heartbeat of God. He thought God wanted to destroy the Assyrians in Nineveh. After all, aren't these Assyrians his enemy? But you see, God never hated the people in Nineveh. He never hated them, not even for a moment. Rather, God hated the sin of the people in Nineveh. But the moment the Assyrians fasted and they prayed and they repented of their sins, God forgave them. And God saved them from destruction. And brothers and sisters, God is in the business of saving people from judgment and destruction. John 3:17 says, God sent his son into the world. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now listen, and God, listen to me to the end. God does not hate the LGBTQ people. He doesn't hate them. God does not hate the most enthusiastic LGBTQ activist. God does not hate the Pride event organizers. He doesn't hate them. God does not hate the promoters of transgender ideology. God does not hate people in the political parties that you dislike. God does not hate the people who follow other gods. God does not hate atheists. And God does not hate your grumpy, foul-mouthed neighbor if you've got one. God doesn't hate them, and neither should we. Rather, God hates the sin that people hold on to, just like he hates the sin in our lives. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is our enemy. Sin is the enemy that ensnares all people to do wicked things. Sin takes over the human heart and causes a person to live a life that opposes the purposes of God. Sin is wicked. Sin is destructive. Sin is what ultimately destroys a person's life and takes them to hell. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to rescue us from perishing for our sin, and he came to give us a free gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Whoever believes in him, even the Assyrians, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16 is the heartbeat of God. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, I understand how crazy the world is. But we don't want to be like Jonah, who hated people. We want to be like God, who came to set people free. Now, that does not mean that we should be silent and not stand up for what is pure and right. We must fight for our children. We must fight for our families. We must call out wickedness when we see it, and we must stand for righteousness. Now, I'm very happy. I do phone politicians. I go and visit them. I'm happy to have a frank discussion with them, but I also always do so with respect. And we must keep ourselves. Also, I want to say this: we almost also, you know, we need to keep ourselves from being corrupted by the spirit of this world ourselves. You know, sometimes we're pointing the finger, and there's four more pointing back at us. You know, just saying. Sometimes, you know, leave it there. So let's do these things in a way that honors God and in a way that is respectful and caring to others with whom we may disagree, even people that we strongly disagree with. And I've nearly finished. Jesus said this in Luke 6. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them. Wow. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward, there's reward in doing this, everybody, will be great. And you'll be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and he's kind to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Therefore, during our own time of prayer and fasting this week, we must ask God to show us if we've gotten out of step with the heartbeat of God, because we really want to be like Jesus. Sometimes it's really easy to get out of step with God. That happens to me. I get a bit worked up. I'm very passionate. I know it's greeny. Switch it off, bud. Good. Jonah had his Nineveh, where he learned about the awesome mercy and grace of God. And today in Australia, we too have our Ninevehs. And just as we have received grace and mercy from Almighty God, let us extend the same heart attitude towards our own Ninevehs. Let's be diligent in praying for the Ninevehs within our nation, that their hearts will be soft to the message about Jesus Christ, so that they repent and throw themselves on the mercy of God and that they can be saved. How we all need the mercy of God.
Yes.
In conclusion, we serve an awesome God. And Jonah wrote his little book to make sure that other followers of God can learn from his huge mistake when he underestimated the overwhelming mercy and kindness of God, even to the wicked. And how profound that God could say about the most wicked city on the earth, shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Amen.